take a close look. 'Cause I rule, baby.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Fan Gamer Podcast. This is episode number 48. We're going to talk about Black Friday memories. Black Friday meaning the day after Thanksgiving in the U.S. in which, businesses in general who do, you know, merchant type, you know, selling of shirts and DVDs
consumer
and all the kind
goods.
Of consumer goods. It is there. That is the day of the year where they usually get into what is called the black, and it's an old financial term because in the red meant you were unprofitable for the year. And once you got to that Friday after Thanksgiving, when people start their holiday shopping, that's when you made enough money to actually be profitable for the year. And it's surprising to see that lots of companies like that exist where they don't get profitable till this far into the year. So obviously, there's lots of fun deals and things happening, and Fangamer will have some fun events as well. So we wanted to talk about any memories you had of waiting in line at 5:30 in the morning and getting, you know, free food or who knows, other cool deals. So, but before we get into the show topic, let me introduce my awesome co-host we have, who just got a sweet new consumer item, Liz Bowes. What'd you just pick up there?
I didn't even have to move from my desk. My
just apparated.
My beloved Matthew apparated into my house with keys and brought home a copy of Donkey Kong Country Returns that I asked him to pick up, since I'm going to see my family for Thanksgiving up in Vermont, and I've taken the Wii up the last couple years, and I thought it would be nice to bring the new Donkey Kong game, because I've played that with my cousins and my sister before. All my fond memories of Kong Country date back to time with the Bowes family, so I thought it would be a nice little
experience. Wow, so your family will actually like want to play along with you then.
Oh, I had a couple Thanksgivings back, or a couple Christmases or whatever, me and three or four of my cousins were all sitting on the couch trying to beat this spider boss from Donkey Kong Country 3, like well after the game had come out and it was on Virtual Console. You would think it would not be hard. I think it took us like 30 tries total, and we beat it by luck. It was not so pretty.
That's skill. And yeah. Then, there, laughing quietly in the background, Ben carrying off.
You make him sound so creepy.
I am.
There's Ben staring at us.
Hi, guys.
Ben, who is... When is your winter of Ben begin?
Winter of Ben. It begins December 7th.
Okay,
it's a little,
so Liz, you're finishing up classes right now,
oh,
right?
I'm a Liz for all seasons. I finished my last exam at 12:50.
And then Ben, when's your last stuff done?
I don't know yet. Maybe Thursday. Hopefully Thursday.
Oh.
No,
minute,
next,
Thursday.
Next,
That's
next,
Thanksgiving.
Next Thursday.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
I have been on vacation since last Friday, and it's been great. And it's snowed incredibly hard for Seattle. Not hard for Chicago, we have discovered.
No.
But any snow cripples the city of Seattle easily. And because of that, I've been able to stay home, and Jen has had to stay home. So we've just been having vacation together, going around the house, cleaning,
now,
playing with the dogs, drinking heavily.
On record, since you, this is a podcast that has
this
perhaps
is a
50
podcast.
Listeners.
Yeah, we might be in the 50s.
Maybe.
We might be.
Maybe.
How many weeks vacation do you get? I want to know.
Let's see. How many do you get? We have a system where you accumulate time as you work.
Ah.
So it's kind of weird. Like, if you were to start new at the company, you would have no time off.
Mm-hmm.
And
That's how it worked at the jewelry store I was at.
Right, and then you work for every X amount of hours you work, you gain, like, 1 hour off. And then that actual rate is based on your seniority and benefits and that sort of thing. I have a lot of vacation because I don't take any sick days. So I don't get sick. And then I have taken a couple vacations here and there, but my boss is pretty lenient on having to actually report said things. So I've got an abundance of vacation stored up, so I'll have 150 hours carried over for next year while taking off all of December, pretty much. and most of this week. So, yeah, it's good times. And
so
then
this is the winter of Garrett, is what you're telling me.
I guess. Yeah, I feel really unproductive. I haven't really
read
done
Game
much.
Of Thrones.
Yeah, I need to do that. Well, actually, we saw Harry Potter. We went and actually saw a movie, so we now saw the new Harry
not
Potter
not as good
movie.
As Game of Thrones.
We saw that on
not
Sunday.
Enough sex.
It was
or too much. I don't know.
Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. I love the movies, but this is the first one where I really could have not seen it in the theater and been okay.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have known that until I saw the movie.
Yeah.
But I could have guessed it. I
yeah.
Think, because the
it was
first
a
half of that book. Yeah.
It was
not just
no
that.
Good.
What was your beef?
The first
with it?
Part of that book is really dull.
Yeah.
And they did a very good job of representing the wandering and the frustration of trying to figure out what to do with the Horcruxes and giving some feel of, you know, rise and fall. But because they did such a good job of keeping to that source material, I really feel that it doesn't make a good movie because there's no closure, which, yes, it is a two-parter, but it's still a movie on its own, and it still should be able to stand on its own as a fun, very entertaining, and of course it ends on a cliffhanger, but it's not that interesting of a cliffhanger, and I don't know, it's like you guys saw the Lord of the Rings movies, right?
Nope.
Yeah. Really?
Okay. Well,
no, they're all
right. The Lord of the Rings, you know how they have that, especially like if you saw them when they first came out, like the second one had that just long, drawn out, like, when is it going to end? And, okay, it ended here. Oh, no, just kidding. It's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
It really has that kind of feel to it.
Really?
And
great.
The other thing is that, I don't know, like, the beginning was really good because they kind of, you realize how this is the end. People are going to start dying. People will begin to die off major characters and, but it's just, it was a bit dull. And I, like I said, I love me some Harry Potter, if it's not obvious from past podcasts. But
nope.
This is one where you could wait for DVD, I think, and wait and then see the next one definitely in the theaters. But we went and saw it, and it's been a long time since I've gone to the movies. So I was like, oh, yeah, this isn't it's opening week, but it's like Sunday. There's not going to be anyone there. So we show up like 10 minutes before the movie starts, and it was packed. And there was nowhere to sit. So we actually had to sit two rows from the very front.
Oh,
which
I saw Free Willy that way.
I have not done that since I was like 8.
Free yeah. Willy.
Oh, that is the worst.
Well, that's
why
about when
have,
I saw Free Willy.
Why do they even have seats up there? It hurt. Oh, my eyeballs. Oh, it hurt so bad. And you can't, like, they have the seats now where they can kind of recline. They do not recline far enough to make that at all comfortable.
No, I didn't know seats just reclined at all.
Yeah, well, it depends on your theater. Like, we have a bunch of kind of new theaters that have, like, the cup holders, but then they can lift them up so that you can, like, get cozy with the person next to you.
Oh, really?
And they rock back and forth. Huh. Is this, like, not a thing that other theaters have? Like, we have tons of theaters.
Well, I mean,
like
maybe
that.
I just don't go see enough movies, but...
Oh, that could be a
Sexy Time Theater is not something the South has yet to take
Sexy
on.
Sexy Time Theater. It's nice if you're going on a date. You go to the ones that have the arm rest that go up so you guys can cuddle. Would be great. So, yeah, I saw Harry Potter. Ben, what have you been up to since we last talked?
Which was, oh, God. I was editing a podcast, and then...
You did a good job, bro. People liked it.
Yeah, I think people did like it. That's pretty much all I did, unfortunately. I got my hair cut. that's about all I have to say.
You going for a Justin Bieber? Bieber? Bieber?
What did you just say?
One of those style haircuts?
Garrett,
is that what you were going for?
So you were talking earlier about me coming to Seattle to hang out, but I think I'm going to come to Seattle now to beat you up.
Whoa! I was talking about Justin Bieber's haircut earlier with Matt. He's got a weird head when you look at it and like consider what that hair is hiding. I think his head is very tall and strange, and the haircut is like kind of a Joe Dirt thing, like how Joe Dirt had the mullet and he couldn't cut it in any other way because of like a genetic disorder. It was not the best movie, so don't ask me
Are
why
you
that
kidding?
Works that way. Ben.
Yes, I'm kidding too.
Come on.
We're kidding as a team. It was no Biodome. There you go.
It was no Encino, man.
So you got a haircut, huh? So are we going to put that as the chapter notes?
No, I would. Ben gets nothing exciting has happened to me, essentially, is what I was trying to get at.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Seattle and things in Seattle, and more specifically people in Seattle. We were going to go meet up with Technomaniac last night before the snowpocalypse hit.
Were you going to take him to Il Forneo to give him dysentery?
Oh, poor Diana. Did you ever tell that story on the cast?
I don't know. I think it was on the long PAX and short podcast.
Yeah,
we took a girl to PAX, and she got dysentery. It happens.
It happens.
Just like the Oregon Trail.
Yep. It happens in 1865.
I lost my train of thought. Okay.
You were going to go with Technomaniac.
So we were
going
to go to, there's this pub over in Wallingford next to, kind of near where Nat and Dory live. Natty Bumpo, who you saw on FanFest a couple weeks back. He works for Nintendo. This bar's called Kate's, and the theme of the bar is just famous girls in history who have been named Kate. So there's like a Kate Winslet poster and like some Kate that discovered something in medicine, and just all over the place just things having to do with the name Kate, which is kind of cool. And they have good drinks and food, but we were gonna head out there, but it snowed really hard and froze up, and people were like, it was taking people hours to get from downtown to what usually is a 10-minute commute, like 6 or 7 hours to get home. And buses and cars just being abandoned on the freeway because Seattle doesn't have the ability to handle any sort of ice and snow. But he was going to be a trooper, and he lives across the water out in Bellevue somewhere, and he was going to drive across. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we cannot send him to his certain doom. He will be stuck on the freeway. He won't have any way to get off the freeway, so he'll have to sleep in his car. And I'm like feeling really bad because he's trying to come out to meet with us. So I call his what I think is his phone number. It turns out to be his parents, and I think I might have freaked them out because I'm like, oh, it's snowing really bad. I was calling to let him know he shouldn't come out. I'm like, oh, well, you should call his cell. So I call the other number, and he answers, and we chat, and he was really cool about it. So we'll meet up at some other time. And I just still feel pretty bad about it because I think in his Twitter later he said he almost ran into a wall because his car was skidding out. So, yeah, first podcast meetup, almost a critical failure.
Almost.
So that's what I've been up to. Liz, besides your Donkey Kong, are you going to be playing any games here pretty soon?
I have been checking out this game website called On Live Game System, where have you guys heard about this?
I saw the Penny Arcade
post
about it.
I feel like Johnny Carson. You heard about this? You seen this in the news? It's fascinating, actually. What it does is it makes your computer act just kind of as a TV screen where you log into this website and you can play all of these different PC games, but what they do is they do the video on their end and they're just streaming it to you. So no matter what kind of piece of crap computer you have, like my little MacBook with the dead battery is a piece of junk, you can play Arkham Asylum on that just by using the same keyboard controls you normally would, and the video is all being streamed to you, so it looks incredible.
That is amazing.
Like a Citrix sort of
my computer
thing.
Sucks.
Yeah, all you need to be able to do is like basically have a computer that can handle YouTube, so it relies on a somewhat decent internet connection, and
yeah, you're just sending keystrokes.
Maybe I'm still
out. Sending you
and
video.
Yeah, you're out. But the other neat thing is you can watch people play other games. Like you can log in and be viewing somebody playing one player. Yeah, and you can like do a thumbs up or a thumbs down, much like the system we removed from the Starman forum.
Well, how much does this cost?
There's a 30-day trial? There's some sort of trial, but
so
I was actually looking at the website. Yeah, and it looks like, how much are they asking?
$99, it looks like. But
yeah, but that's for a system.
Yeah, like they're making one for the TV.
Their library's not huge. Oh. It's not,
they have
it's
some
not
pretty
a Steam
big
situation.
Games, though. Like they got Borderlands in here, Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Ben, if you just had a little bit more bandwidth,
be good to go.
You know
this could be your way in.
I would give it a try, honestly. They had a Lego Batman Matt was playing the other night, which those Lego games, I've never really looked at them before. They are very
cool. Yeah, I heard they're awesome.
Oh,
you get beat up, you shatter into pieces. Very cool.
They're a good kind of like family casual game. Like if you have, not like kids necessarily, but like, you know, your parents and you're coming home for holidays. Your parents could get into that because they're very cutesy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun time.
Wow, this actually looks pretty cool.
It's a very cool concept. If I had room on my shelf for one more piece of electronic equipment, I'd almost consider it. But I never feel like buying peripherals.
Actual system?
It looks like you can buy an actual system, but we The trial Whoa. Matt and I were using was just on.
I think there's
the
one
computer,
that's on the like, computer, but there's another, like, you plug it into your TV.
It hooks up to your TV.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty slick, because these guys were at PAX, actually, weren't they?
They might have been.
It's possible. Were, PAX was huge.
Because I remember where our booth was, and there was this on-live thing that was kind of in front of us, but against the other wall. Mm-hmm. And I kept walking by. I'm like, well, they have everyone else's games here, but what is it that they do?
Yeah.
Wow, it's that's pretty cool.
It is, yeah, because it says it has the game system and it works for PC and Mac. So that gives you the ability to play games that didn't come out on Mac.
That is super awesome.
I would like them to, we need to find a way. We need a business model here where whenever we talk about this stuff, we can get like $20 or, you know, a copy of it.
It's called advertising. You just invented the concept.
I know.
Independently
I'm not even
of Don
in business
Draper.
School. That's crazy. All right. Well, that was cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing that up, Liz.
You're welcome. Yeah. It took us... here's a little side note for people who only hear the unedited or hear the edited version. This took us a lot of tries for me to find something interesting to say. So consider yourselves lucky.
All right, then. Well, that's a pretty good what we've been up to. Unless Ben has some last minute going to bring...
My glasses broke. I'm currently trying to pick old super glue off of them. That's essentially what I'm gonna do.
So like Harry Potter said. All right. Well, then let's pause for a moment, and we will do some audio candy. Last week's for Minecraft was
pretty awesome.
Oh, God,
that song is so addictive.
I'm looking forward to see what he did this week. Yeah, that was great. Take it away, Charlie. Boop, boop.
Hello, everybody. This is Ben filling in for Charlie for this week's audio candy. This week's piece isn't much of a traditional game arrangement, as we've come to hear on this segment, more than it is a proper remix. A remix of the track More Move by T. Hirono featuring Paulino, featured in the Beatmania 2DX series of games made by Konami. The song, originally a jazzy, more chilled-out lounge track, was remixed by a friend of mine, Melvin Rubio, to be more of a hip-hop-inspired, danceable beat. The original composition lends itself well to being interpreted this way, and Rubio's remixing is able to impressively portray the song in a different light, one that I feel is a bit more active and happy than the original. Caught up in the stress of the Black Friday and upcoming holiday season this year. Take some time out to listen to some uplifting and high-energy music to keep your mood on the up, and enjoy the times ahead with people you really care about. In this track, it's not available for download anywhere, but you can shoot me an email at ben@fangamer.com and I'll send it your way. If you have any suggestions for a song to be featured for future audio candy segments by Charlie, send him an email at charlie@fangamer.com. Thanks for listening, everybody. All right, here we go with Fangamer News. I'm just joined here by the one and only Reed Man, Reed Young, today. I apologize for pulling you away from what must be like a pretty busy time in the office. What's going on?
No, actually, I took yesterday and a good chunk of today off. It's my second and third day off, respectively, this month.
That sounds pretty rough.
It was a really long month, but yeah, it's nice to have it over with.
And the FanFest is coming to a close soon.
Yeah, oh man, it's coming up on Friday. I keep forgetting about that.
Is it really that soon? Jeez.
Yeah, that's the last gameplay point, and then we have the final show on Monday.
Oh man. All right, well, this is our Black Friday podcast, and we're a little bit late, but I feel that's okay, because a lot has happened in the past couple of days that's, I feel, very worth talking about as far as Fangamer news.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we get into any of that more recent stuff, Fangamer itself has had some pretty sweet Black Friday deals going on with some really cool brand new merchandise, too. Do you want to brief us on some of that?
Yeah, I think last week we just kind of told what kind of merchandise was coming out, but we finally decided on the actual promo itself. And we, I think for a little while, we've been wondering if we could find some way to sell a Super Nintendo controller kind of keychain. And so we thought, well, here's a good chance, because it's a nice little it's a nice little bonus thing, and they're just cheap enough if you buy a ton of them to give away as freebies. So we thought, okay, well, if we're gonna do it any time, it has to be for a Black Friday, because there's no other chance for us to buy this many and make it affordable.
Right.
So if you buy $50 more worth of stuff in the store, you get one of these keychains, and it's actually a double sided. One side is the Super Nintendo, and the other side is Super Famicom. And the only difference is the color of the buttons, but we wanted to keep it accurate.
Yeah, it's looking really good, actually. Like, how does, like, the pixelated look of it actually look on the real-life keychain?
We're actually still waiting. We got a preliminary mock-up from the company, but they did some stuff wrong, so we sent them back to the drawing board.
All right.
Hopefully we're going to get one done pretty quickly, and I'll get a picture of it next week, but I guess we'll see how fast they are.
All right. Well, that's pretty sweet. But we have the Black Friday sleep-in sale going on right now that Steve made the promo video for.
Right.
I don't know if you guys got too much into that last week.
No, I don't think so. We actually, the keychain was one part of it, and then the second part of the promo is if you spend $100 or more, you get the keychain and you get free shipping in the U.S. and $5 shipping to Canada, which is...
Right.
Pretty good deal, because shipping generally costs in the ballpark of $10-$15 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Steve just been working on a video. He pretty much ruined himself working on the promo videos.
It was really good. If anyone hasn't seen it, we'll probably post a link in the show notes or something. It's super good.
Yeah.
All right. Aside with that, though, we launched a lot of new stuff, like the Far From Subtle stuff and the track mode.
Yeah, essentially we launched a ton of stuff. We launched the E-Take mug, which I think we were talking
about.
Oh,
yes.
And that's been, like we were talking about before, it's just been huge.
Blowing up.
Yeah, it's one of our fastest selling items in a long time. I don't know. I mean, obviously the Mother 3 Handbook has it beat, but it's really up there in terms of number of sales.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've also got the Wisdom Courage Power shirt, which is a collaboration between us and Attractmode and Corey Schmitz, and it's selling great too. We've been dying to get some kind of Zelda inspired merchandise in the store for a while, and this was a great chance.
It's a really good design too.
Yeah, Corey Schmitz is he's incredible, and he hasn't even been doing it that long. So
really,
you know. If he's this good right out of college, you can imagine how good he's going to get as the years go on here.
Oh yeah.
We also released the Samus Visor shirt, which is a design we got from Jonah Block. He's kind of a t-shirts, kind of like Omniterium, where
yeah.
He does a lot of t-shirts for a lot of different t-shirt sites, you know. So.
T-shirt connoisseur, maybe not.
Yeah. A designer of connoisseur t-shirts,
yes,
perhaps.
Yes.
And then we also released the Far From Subtle merchandise, which we've been working on for just a little while. We've been talking with them for ever since PAX. We've been talking about them, or talking with them about the possibility of doing some merchandise, and we finally said, you know, we should really try to get this in the store before Black mm-hmm. Friday. So it was down to the wire. John was working triple overtime, literally, to get this stuff in the store. And we got it launched, and it's been great. We've gotten a ton of traffic from the Far From Subtle guys. They get
they got
a huge amount of traffic to their YouTube channel.
It's crazy.
Huge.
Yeah.
yeah, I think we talked about it last week. They brought in 1,200 people to the FanFest gameplay
point. It was
crazy. So. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Everyone wanted to see Deacon dance. I think we need to release some sort of Deacon dancing swag, but...
Oh, man, you should see the comments on their YouTube videos about Deacon. They just get worse or better, depending on your perspective.
Like, where did that even come from? Like, I don't recall him ever
dancing.
I don't
know. No clue. I guess I haven't watched enough of the Awesome Video Games videos to find out for sure.
I guess not. on the subject of the Earthbound Fan Fest, I think the biggest benefit of us holding off a couple days to release this podcast is by far the Plush Trust Fund just happened.
Yes, the first Plush Trust Fund auction. It was, I didn't know what to expect going in, and I was, by the end, I just didn't even know what to say anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it was such an amazing
event. To fill everyone in, we raised $10,000 in a charity to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. Just from how many plushies and stickers did we sell?
We originally got a shipment of more than 60 items. Mm-hmm. And they were almost, with the exception of a couple, they were almost entirely from a Japanese mother fan. His name's Eagle Owl on the Starman.net forum. And he won all these things in a crane game. Because that's where most of the Band Presto is releasing these plushies, mm-hmm. is in these crane games in Japan, arcades, or Japanese arcades. And so he sent them to our friend Natty Bumpo, and Nat is like, wow, I have no use for 60 plus plushies, you know? So he sent them along to us, and he said, hey, can you guys do something with charity for these things? I said, sure, we'll try. And I talked to the Speed Gamers, and they helped us host this event on Friday night. And we auctioned off 3 sticker sets, 8 mini plushies, 4 ball and chain plushies, and 1 large plushie and 1 belch plushie.
And the belch was the star of the ball, as it were.
Oh my gosh, the bell of the ball.
The belch of the ball.
Yeah, up until we put belch up on the auction block, we had raised... Man, I think it was close to it was over $3,000.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Which was great. I mean, that was phenomenal. I was like, wow, this has been a great auction so far. I was, you know, I didn't have any expectations.
Yeah, you're talking about you would have been thrilled with 1,000?
Yeah, if we raised $1,000, I would have been really happy. I was like, that would have been a great night.
Yeah.
And so by the time we got to Belch, we had raised 3. And I, you know, I was totally happy. I was like, this has been a great event. Yeah, we're totally doing this next year.
Oh, yeah.
And then... a bidding war developed when we put Belch up, and it was Mike versus Rick, with Calvin dropping in as the surprise element.
Yeah, it was
the last.
It
hour.
Was such like an emotional, crazy time. Like it was going back and forth between like Mike and Rick Jones for like 45 minutes or so, and like they finally stopped. They're like, okay, we're gonna match each other here. We're gonna be good. And then this Calvin guy burst in with like an $800 donation. And it just ignited the whole thing over again. It was amazing.
Yeah, the chat room absolutely lost it when Calvin swooped in with that donation.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
And when things like started to get up into
in the
1,000 range.
At one point, Mike dropped out. And we thought, okay. And I was just Calvin and Rick. And they went at it till they got close to $2,000.
Mike came back.
And then Mike swoops back in. Yeah, with a $1,000 donation. It was just mind-blowing. Yeah.
But even aside from that, all the people who donated just a little bit. I know... I was proud because I got a mini Saturn for $120, and I thought that was a lot at the time, but...
Yeah, and that was the thing, is that throughout the whole thing, and the Speed Gamers are really classy about this, because they know that there's going to be the huge donors, but there's also people who don't have much to give in the first place. And so even in the midst of the Calvin and Rick and
still
Mike battle...
No, it was a battle. I mean, everyone won. Everyone was a winner.
My war rhetoric has no place here. But, I mean, there would be people dropping in $10 donations, and they would stop and say, hold on, we got a $10 donation from whoever. And, you know, it's just the Speed Gamers, they're a class act. And all the people who donated, I was so proud. What an awesome
community. Yeah, it was very emotional and awesome. And we actually got a cool write-up of it by Nicole at Jinxed.net, J-I-N-K-E-D, and Illvision.net. She wrote a nice little write-up of it. I'm pretty sure you saw that, right?
Yeah, I did. She's actually, she lives not far from where I grew up. So I was like, oh man, a fellow Indiana nerd writing about the plush auction is pretty cool.
You guys should look that up and read it, because it's a really nice write-up of the whole event. It describes it very well.
Yeah, show note that thing. So yeah, that made for a crazy weekend.
Absolutely.
And it's still, I hate to say, to even use this term, but Amazon has been pumping up Cyber Monday for so long. And I think, man... What a stupid name. I'm not even going to mention that on the Fan Gamer site.
We already talked about that a little bit on the podcast.
Oh, good.
It's like this conspiracy. All right. Well, I was wishing that Steve was here, because I knew like he worked at like Best Buy and Office Max for a while, and I was going to ask him if he had any like good Black Friday stories to share with the podcast world. But did you ever work in any environment where Black Friday was a big deal, and do you have any stories to share?
You know, I worked at a computer store and a coffee shop, and I don't remember either of those Black Fridays. I have a horrible memory. I don't remember much of my childhood or even my young adulthood. So.
Fair enough. Thanks a lot for being here for the segment. It was good times.
No sweat, man.
And do you have any parting words? Any hints for the future? I know we just like released a bunch of stuff, but
pretty much the entire month of December is going to be me shipping. Along with Steve and Ryan and whoever else we can get to come to the office. So you probably won't hear much from me beyond this.
Fair enough. Well, thanks for being here, Reed, and we'll get back to the podcast now. We're getting into our show topic, Black Friday, and why it's dumb.
Time to talk about this week's show topic of Black Friday memories, which, well, the forum thread, not just ours, the one in general discussion that happened to be going on that we've borrowed from, the general consensus from the community at large is that they are too good for Black Friday deals. They will not be getting up early to go out to them. And I can't entirely blame them because there's only a few of that I've actually participated in. I always have the intentions of doing it, though, especially when I hear about people like, I think someone in the forum thread brought up how the monitor they're using now, they got through a Black Friday deal and it's some sweet, awesome monitor. I'm like, yeah. And then like, I'll have a friend of mine be like, yeah, I got this blah, 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 awesome TV at Costco that I got there at 5 a.m., but it's a $1,200 TV that I got for $400. I'm like, oh, man, that's pretty sweet. And then I get jealous of it. But the only one that I, again, tried to do was it was the year that the Wii had come out, but it because the Wii came out before Black Friday, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure. Anyway, it was after that. And we had a local shopping center store called Fred Meyer's. It's like a grocery store and everything else in one. And they were doing a deal where they were actually going to have Wii's. I mean, if you guys remember, it was ridiculous.
It was so hard to get one.
Yeah, and it was still, especially when it first came out, it was still that way like a year or two after it came out. I remember ridiculously hard to get. So the fact that they said, you know, we're going to have 20 on Black Friday or something, and it was at this crappy, really gross Fred Meyer's by us. So I fear people aren't going to go to this one because it's the gross one. No one's going to go there. So it opened up at like 6 in the morning or 5:45. And so we're like, okay, we'll show up right at 6, go in there, we'll get a Wii, it'll be awesome, we'll take it home and play, it'll be so great. So me and Jen get up at like 5:45, get in the car, drive over there, get there a little bit before 6, and there is no one in line. I'm like, awesome, we're going to totally get a Wii. And we go inside. The store just opened. The lineup was inside. They let the people inside. What kind of lineup is that? When you're
I've seen those.
Inside?
I remember them from the Wii, actually, where they'd give people tickets and make them line up inside Target or wherever.
Yeah, so we went inside, and they were all lined up in there, and there was already the 20 who had their tickets, and Jen was so sad, and we went home and went back to sleep.
No.
I went through that with a friend of mine as well, actually, Spencer, a.k.a. Everdread, from Starman.net, and I decided one morning that we had checked on, like, there were Wii trackers. You could go online and say, like, which stores in my area have a Wii? Let's go find it. So we went to Toys R Us all the way out in Monroeville, Pennsylvania. Woo-hoo-hoo.
How long of a drive is that?
Oh, that was like 10 minutes from college.
Oh.
If you've ever seen the movie Zack and Miri Make a Porno, that's Monroeville. So that says it all. But we waited outside the Toys R Us in the very long line that I think had a couple hundred people in it, and they only had 30 Wiis, and we were, like, 80 deep. So even as we were standing in the line, we knew, like, what is the point of us standing here? But the people who were hundreds back, they were just standing there for, like, Wiimotes and stuff. They were hoping just to get their hands on a peripheral.
Wow. Yeah.
That's so crazy. Just
I know.
For a Wiimote?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, it was hard to find all that stuff.
Yeah, that's true. And then it's funny because, like, the first edition Wiis have, like, much like the first edition Xboxes or even the current ones, I guess, it has trouble reading discs. Because the way I actually got the Wii is my brother ended up doing one of these same go out and wait super earlier in the morning. But he did it when the Wii first came out.
Yeah.
And he bought two of them somehow. I don't know, maybe a friend of his was there. And he bought one for me, like, when it had first come out, but I didn't know that. And so Christmas, he gave me that. I'm like, oh my gosh, how did you get this? And he tells the story. I'm like, wow. So that was really cool. That's how I got. But because it's one of the first edition ones, it has a really hard time reading the dual layer disc ones, like Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
It has a really hard time playing that game. And, which is unfortunate, but it's okay. It still works. It still works better than my first Xbox I got, for sure.
I was going to ask, how many first edition 360s are still around?
Oh, I can't imagine.
They've all self-destructed.
Right? Yeah, I think they're... I can't imagine how long... It would have... Like, 5 years ago? It hasn't been that long, has it?
I think it's been about that long.
Yeah, it's about right, actually.
5 years.
It's pretty close.
There's no way any of them are left.
Yeah, I remember being at my old apartment when I had to. Mine first broke, and then I tried calling Xbox support and doing all the stuff. And that was when they were still on the line about doing the, where they knew, weren't going to admit there was a problem.
Oh, God.
And so, like, certain people, they were saying, oh, yeah, we know it's a problem, and certain people, they weren't. And I was like, listen, man, I have a forum thread right here, people saying they know it's a problem, and that they're extending the warranty for people because of it. He's like, I'm sorry, sir, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. And so I got really upset about that.
Do you remember how Sony, when they released the PlayStation 3 at the $599.99 price point, thought that there'd be the same situation where people will be lining up for months and months because they were like, the Wii did so well. There's
that
no way this
problem,
isn't
right?
going to do better. No,
was
you
the
could,
price point?
You could walk into the stores and, like, maybe 2 weeks later and just see piles and piles of them.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, it was the funniest thing. There was a Penny Arcade news update a while back where they... like a month after the release, the president or something of the Sony Games division was like, I dare you to find me a PlayStation 3 and call me and tell me where it is and I'll go and buy it. And then Gabe posted a picture of like 30 at a Best Buy. And he was like, get out your wallet, buddy, because you're in for some trouble.
I remember that one.
Yeah,
when I went
ridiculous.
To finally go buy my PS3, I did not have any trouble.
Oh no,
finding one.
No.
But it was still expensive. And I think I got the first editions that did not do the backwards compatibility, which makes me sad, but it's still a good system. I still like my PS3.
Yeah, it's a great system. I think I got one of the last ones. Like, they kept slowly stripping away the backwards compatibility so that mine is technically backwards compatible, but certain PlayStation 1 games it'll try and play and it'll be like, no,
I really want one.
I can't do it.
So we also learned from the forum thread that Canada does not have a Black Friday.
They don't.
They're just kicking in
business
all year.
There's only, 32 million people?
Well, it makes sense. If they were trying to do it after their Thanksgiving, well, that's back in October. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. a bit early for people to do holiday shopping, so that makes sense. The other one that was, somebody brought up the Cyber Monday, that they, on Monday after Thanksgiving, or the Friday, yeah.
Now,
Monday,
Garrett,
after the weekend.
You think Cyber Monday is a vast right-wing conspiracy, correct?
Well, let me explain what it is first. That's what I was going to say. So it's the Monday after Black Friday. So in theory, everyone's gone back to work after vacation. And as Liz had said earlier, they don't want to work. So they just go online and shop. And people like Amazon say that they have stats that show there's more shopping that day. And I'm sure, right, people coming back from any vacation is probably a day where they decide to go online shop. But I feel like it's a little bit maybe made up that people are actively going out. Like, I don't think it has nearly the same...
It's no Black Friday.
Yeah, I mean, people like know of the deals. They save up their money to go buy these, you know, do a lot of their Christmas shopping that day. I don't know that many people reserve Christmas shopping for that following Monday online. So,
yeah.
But coming from an online retailer, I hope people do.
Yeah.
So if you want to buy stuff on that Monday, you know, please do.
Yeah.
But it's a good point, because I think it was Uncle Grandpa here. Yeah. He says they just stay home and just do the shopping on the following Monday. I'm like,
whatever works.
There you go. But I mean, once this time of year, though, doing any sort of shopping after this Friday is going to be nuts. Like, maybe we should just expand the conversation to that, just holiday shopping in general. Like, going to a Best Buy anytime between after next Friday and December before Christmas. Oh, my gosh. Just every 2 seconds, someone in a blue shirt. Can I help you? Can I help you find something?
Oh, that's the
no.
worst.
I was just at Best Buy, and literally, as we walked through to the game section, there was, like, 8 or 9 people with the blue shirts eyeing us, like...
Like
they were
vultures.
Buzzards. Yeah, and we were like dead meat. And as soon as we get to the game section, oh, can I help you guys find anything? Oh, no, we're okay. Get to the next aisle, a different game guy. Oh, you guys need any help finding a Wii game? Like, oh my gosh. No, we're okay. We're okay. And then they find some guy, some poor schmuck who's looking at like Barbie horse adventures. And this dude with some
him.
Grizzled beers, like trying to give him, give him a... buyer's guide for his daughter, and I'm like, this dude does not have kids. This dude is like the Best Buy employee, and he's telling you, oh well, if you have a daughter, you know, look at the Cooking Mama and the spinoff Crafting Mama. You know,
Crafting Mama, aww.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
No, it sounds cute. I saw Amy Sedaris's Crafts for Poor People the other day in the bookstore. That looked really exciting.
Might not be the same as Crafting Mama.
I think it is. It just uses a lot more rusty cans and, like, old string from the dumpster.
But, yeah, so for holiday shopping experiences, are you guys the kind of people who wait till the last minute?
Yes.
Or are you?
Yes, absolutely.
So do you have any fun... Do you have any fun stories of trying to go to, like, a somewhere to buy stuff the day before Christmas?
Mm-hmm. 2 years back, I guess it would have been, the item du jour was the Dark Knight on Blu-ray. That was, like, very cool, very hot thing to get, and Matt had asked me for it. And
because the Blu-ray was still really rare back then, or...?
Well, everybody had a PlayStation 3, right? No. Well, it was the DVD or the Blu-ray, but it was one of those things where Best Buy had pushed very hard as a Black Friday special, so naturally their inventory ran down. And so it's Christmas Eve, and I'm looking on all of these websites trying to find a place, like, I could go pick it up in the store. None of them have it. Like, none of the Best Buys, none of the, I don't know where other people buy DVDs, Target, that kind of thing. And I end up, like, we have to leave to go to Matt's parents' house Christmas Eve, so, like, I know if I don't get it on my way home from work before I go there, he's not getting a Christmas present. But I end up at FYE, FYE is the worst place on earth, but that is the only...
Wait, what is FYE?
It's a music...
You don't have FYE out where you are?
Video
God bless
place.
You.
Yeah, it's garbage.
It's like West Coast Video, only it didn't... Or
oh,
Sun
wow.
Coast, or
but
one
it
of those.
Just
it didn't die.
Under.
Yeah, it just has been limping along. But actually, the one in the Loop in Chicago is looking very haggard these days. I'm wondering if it's... going down
on its way
I hope
out.
So screw those guys
oh, you
were you going to
have
two
one of those
in the mall
in the mall
Oh, yeah. An FYE in the east of the Montgomery Mall and an FYE in the west. Those were the cornerstones. They held the Montgomery Mall together.
Yeah, not stop till you get enough.
Oh, yeah. FYE, man. What a hose job. Like, you go there, still, in this day and age, a CD is like $18.99.
Yeah, I forget that.
It's like, come on. Are you kidding me? Nobody's buying CDs at that prices. Like, I doubt FYE is doing Black Friday deals, but sure enough, they came through for me where I was able to get The Dark Knight on Blu-ray, and I was rewarded for my procrastination by only having to pay, like, $5 extra.
Wow, that was the moral of the story I was not expecting.
The kids came through in a big way. It does for me.
What about you, Ben? Are you a early shopper, late shopper?
Well, I've never really had to shop for, like, an abundance of people until this year. So, I mean, I guess we're going to find out.
Did you just make friends for the first time?
Yes. No, I just got a job that pays more than $6. Well, not just,
That'll do it.
Yeah.
When you don't have a job, people's expectations from you are a lot lower. Which
I hope you like this
of.
Card. I made it a construction paper and, like, heart stamps.
I made you a tambourine out of two paper plates with beans in them.
Bring me more macaroni shakers.
And paper plates. And soap carving.
But no, like, up until this point, most of my quote-unquote shopping has just involved finding crap I don't want anymore and giving it to people. Or stuff I bought recently, so at least I'm not coming across as, like, too much of a jerk. It's like, yeah, I can just buy this later for myself. I'm gonna give my copy of Metroid Prime Trilogy to my friend and then realize that, hey, these are limited run. Then I had to go buy another one the next day.
I would say the older I get, the more I don't really find that insulting. Like, if someone's gonna find something that they enjoyed and give that to me as a gift, that's actually pretty cool. Yeah. Like, if it's definitely something like, yeah, this is my copy of, I don't know, a book or a game they really like, and they're going to like, yeah, here, you can have it, man. This is great, whatever it is. I'm cool with that. In fact, that this year, that's kind of what I've tried to do with my family and say, I don't want any more. Oh, gosh, my mom is notorious for just the weirdest Christmas presents. Like, she got me, like, cookie racks like, that you're just like, when your cookies are going to, like, after you bake
them.
Do I use them?
No, I use them.
Exactly. It was basically a gift for Jen, yet it says on it for Garrett. I'm like, don't just give me, just, you know, don't give me as
just
many.
Just give
things.
Me money.
Get him some. Booze.
I ask for money.
But no, the other side of what you were talking about was like, is the people who root around in their attic for like an old book and then give it to their brother for their 10th birthday.
Re-gift.
This is a story of myself. When I was 7 years old for my brother's birthday, I gave him a book I found in my closet that I've never read.
Oh, can I, I remembered the story of how Matt got Majora's Mask that he told me recently, where his brother Drew got him Majora's Mask, but decided he wanted to play it, and so he took it out of the box and just started playing it all through November and everything. And on Christmas morning, Matt unwraps a gift, and it's just the box. And Matt's mom is like, Drew, where's the game? And he's like, it's in the N64. I beat it. Or, like, I almost beat it. I'll give it back to you when I'm done.
Oh, that's so mean, but so funny at once.
Like, did he know that his brother had it?
Yeah, I think he did.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty good. Actually, that reminds me. I did something very similar. Not to my brother, but in high school, my buddy Andrew and I had really gotten into StarCraft 2. Or not StarCraft. I was playing on StarCraft. And we were playing that almost nightly in over dial-up. So, like, we would actually dial our modems direct and take up an entire phone line of the house. So if anyone wanted to use the phone, they couldn't. And if someone picked up the phone, it would drop our game, which was awesome. But anyway, we were both in StarCraft, but we hadn't played any of the other Blizzard games in the we neither of us had played Diablo or any of the Warcraft games. So I thought, well, we really like StarCraft. I'll get Andrew Warcraft 2 for Christmas. And so I pick up the battle chest, you know, the crazy Blizzard pack. It's got, like, the expansions and the strategy guides and all that stuff. And I have it sitting there next to my computer and my desk at home. And I'm like, man, that looks really fun. I really want to play that. And so I totally, like, find these, like, the really sharp knife and, like, cut the thing open really delicately so that I could put it back together. And I took the game out and installed it and even put in the license key and everything. But back then, if you just, you know, you could use the same key for lots of stuff. You didn't register online, so it wasn't a big deal. But I played Warcraft for several weeks before Christmas, and I was like, it's pretty fun, but I'm glad I didn't get this because it's not as good as StarCraft. So then I very carefully wrapped it back up, put it back exactly how it was,
wiped up
fingerprints, Dexter style, retaped it up, and then re-gifted it to him. He probably has no idea.
I've told you guys about the time Reed wrote me a letter of recommendation for graduate school, and I realized I didn't sign it, which I had to after I'd sealed the envelope, so I took an iron and steamed it open. I learned that from Dog, actually.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
If I make reference to that show yet again. It didn't work that well.
No,
I had to
get the note all messed up inside.
Isn't that what happened in Doug too?
Yeah, the envelope got all messed up. So what I had to do was get a new one and then just give it the old Reed Young on the outside. But I cleared it with Reed afterward. I was like, Reed, I put your signature on something because I couldn't send it back to you. I was so embarrassed. He was like, oh, you'll live.
Yep.
I'm sure that's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, from the forum thread, the one that we put up, wants Latios Lots?
Lots? That would be the Pokemon, yes.
Has a pretty good little story here of that they tend to go to Black Friday events and not buy anything. They actually go for the experience of all the crazy people that are there. The people, like, the examples I think brings up are, like, the friendly soccer mom to the chain-smoking D&D guy to the elderly man who doesn't understand what all the ruckus is about over electronics and is just there to happen to pick up a TV the same day for his wife. But, yeah, they goes for the experience. And I always think that I could do that, but the rampant consumerism just it crushes my psyche, and I can't just be around that for very long.
Yeah.
And that was going to kind of transition into neither of you guys. Liz, you have. You've worked retail before. But you've never worked for a Black Friday event that you can say is like this, right? Where people are like lining up at 4 a.m.
No, you know what? I never have. The jobs I've worked in any kind of food type thing, I've always been summer seasonal stuff, and the one retail thing I did was high-end jewelry, so that's not something where people are beating down your doors
impulse
for a deal, because they know they're getting hosed. Oh, people impulse buy jewelry.
Really?
Oh, that happens. Yeah.
Really rich people, I imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People also procrastinate on that. Christmas Eve is the best day, not Black Friday, because people who have been terrible husbands want to come in on the last day and be I need to get my wife something. I have a problem. Drop $10,000.
Wow, so you guys, I would say you guys probably had a lot of sales then on like the days leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, it would get progressively better, and then just all the returns would come in after Christmas when it turns out the gift.
You can return that?
Yeah, there's restocking fees involved. It's not so nice, but yeah. Like, whenever people buy diamond rings and they're like, I wanted a new one because it's only for me. Like, well, that diamond's probably been on someone else's hand, but you'd never know.
Do you ever give them the speech about how diamonds are, like, worthless? And, well, I guess you couldn't.
Yeah, when I'm selling them something, I like to remind them how little it's worth, but...
I meant that more so, and like, do you ever try to like big up the other selections,
authentic items, things that might actually be more worth?
Yeah, you were saying instead of this, what about?
Occasionally, if I think they're trying to buy a diamond just to buy it, like if they're buying a real piece of crap, I'd be like, why don't you just buy a really nice ruby? But that never works on anyone.
Okay.
It never ever works, and it's very sad.
Diamonds are
so,
forever, man.
I
learned that from Kanye.
Yeah, forever.
From the forum thread, someone brings up that they're actually going to be working this year, Black Friday, as their first kind of.
I think Matt did that at Best
American
Buy.
Eagle or something. Aww. Oh, did he?
Yeah, he. I've told the story. He quit that job over being told to sell lots of copies of Superman 64, and he flipped out. He's like, "This game is so bad, I cannot sell this to people." And
wow.
I've watched Let's Plays of that game. It is probably the worst game ever
it's
made.
It's not good.
It's just fog everywhere.
I did not know that story.
There's nothing good.
He, ask him sometime about his auspicious career at Best Buy as a blue shirt.
Oh, man, we should have Steve. You're going to do Fangamer News this week, right?
Yeah, you want
me
to ask
Steve?
Steve
to talk about his Office Max days.
Yeah, or
I'm sure he has
Best
stories.
Buy.
He was Best Buy, right?
He was both.
I thought he was.
Oh, wow.
Well, either way.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty sure he was both.
Does Office Max really get Black Friday traffic? Like,
oh,
do people
yeah,
really
that's actually
need
someone
reams
brought
of paper?
That up in the forum thread is somewhere that actually had some of the better deals.
Really?
Apparently. So, like the office supply kind of places.
I always forget Office Max even exists. It seems like I see Staples, and then Office Max is like this rundown little shanty where it's like, what are you? I don't know. That's my personal bias. I've never found Office Max to have the sleek veneer of Staples.
Oh man, this guy Spook, he is going to be working 2 to 11 at CompUSA. Wow, I didn't know CompUSA was still around.
CompUSA?
I thought all of ours shut down.
Maybe yeah. Circuit City definitely went under, but I think CompUSA might have like one or two stores they kept open just as like.
Oh, you know, I never even thought about that. His shift is 2 to 11, which I'm guessing
it's
is 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Probably because you have to, because if the store opens like at 5 or something ridiculous like that,
yeah,
you probably have to show up
yep.
super early. And actually, Jen was telling me that like for Nordstrom, they do their holiday decoration like the night before. So, mm-hmm. like, they get a bunch of people who just stay there all night doing the decoration, tearing down all the stuff that was there before and putting up all that stuff in one night. And, jeez. Man, all that for holidays. Yeah, so something I was going to finish
it's,
up saying
it's crazy.
From earlier.
I've done yeah, the holiday that, decorating. It's not fun.
Yeah, like I say, like, for me, this year, I actually told my family, say, I really don't want any particular gifts that are, you know, maybe Garrett wants this or that. I was like, just try and, you know, something, just one item that you think is a little more thoughtful. And I sent my dad a picture of a photograph I took of this nearby kind of landscape where we live, and I'm like, could you like paint this or draw this or do something cool with that and have that be a gift, because
that'd be really cool.
I really like living here and we're gonna move away and I'm gonna, you know, forget what it looks like one day, and it'd be cool to have this picture.
That is
to
a nice
it
gift.
By.
Yeah.
It's like, so because my brother and my dad both are, you know, pretty good artists, so I kind of sent them both photos saying, could you do something with this? My brother, I said, here's a picture of my dogs. Make them do something adorable together.
Aww.
Since they don't normally do anything adorable, like run and play in the snow or anything.
Nope.
So.
You don't have a constant reminder so, of it.
No, well, I don't. All right, guys. Shall we wrap this up?
Sounds good.
Take it away. We'll be right back. Well, everyone, thank you for listening to this week's Fangamer podcast. If I had been prepared, I would have looked up what next week's topic was going to be before I decided to close out the show. So while I go look up what that's going to be, who's going to do it this week? Ben? Liz? Who can tell people the ways to get a hold of us and give us some sweet feedback?
All right, well, Liz, I feel you're like the tried and true queen of ranting about
the ways to get a hold of us. Yeah, Garrett's been horse whipping me to do this one for the last 10 months, so I've gotten good at it. All right, the ways you can contact us are the combined social media power of Facebook and Twitter, which you can access by searching for the company name, Fangamer, on either of those sources, and you will be greeted by either myself or Charlie, depending upon if you go to Twitter or Facebook, respectively. You can also watch Office Cam Fridays at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, the best time zone.
Nope.
And Office Cam reruns are on Vimeo. I guess I should say Office Cam itself is on Ustream. So go to ustream.com and once again search for Fangamer. We have a YouTube channel, which is Fangamer.net. We have a Flickr page, which you can search for Readman or you can search Fangamer. It'll come up in some fashion. And we also have an email, podcast@fangamer.com. We like emails, but not as much as we like iTunes reviews, because those are like quantitative emails that give us numbers that we can just devour and let stew.
We like metrics. I haven't checked them. But next week's show topic is multiplayer gaming moments, which I think, I don't know if I thought of this one or if this was one you guys did.
That's possibly you.
Crap. So that means I have to try and figure out what it was I meant by that.
I think it was
like
I was thinking towards
like GoldenEye.
I think what it was is because like this is like a family get together time. So we're just thinking back to times.
Right, right. Just basically how Liz is getting together her family to play Donkey Kong.
Yeah, hopefully. Although half my family might be going outlet shopping on Black Friday, so maybe it'll be me playing Donkey Kong in the dark.
Oh. Yeah, so it'll be those moments of, you know, being home for the holidays after school or, you know, being out of school and playing games with the family. I imagine there'll be a lot of stories about the Wii. I think we've done a family sort of podcast before like that, but this is more specifically around the holidays or any sort of multiplayer gaming moments, because I was thinking back to times when we had played GoldenEye multiplayer for many hours, and that I always was jealous of the people who could do the Halo LAN parties, because they could get like three Xboxes together.
Oh, God,
jealous of
all
them.
They sound like they're having a lot of fun, because back then you actually were in at least the same house doing it, you know? It wasn't
the
all
same frat house?
Yeah, usually. So, all right, so that is next week's topic, but this show, are we actually going to do it? Are we going to put it up Friday, you think?
I would like to see it happen, but I say that with no authority to be able to do it myself, since I'm in the air all day tomorrow. What do you think, Dialga? The master of all time says that it's possible. I didn't even think about that, but
he is
time god.
Oh, you guys, we leveled up to 51 listeners, because we have a new review.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Garrett, I'm way ahead of you on that. It's the review, I pasted it in water cooler. Rather than read the whole review, it just says, Ben, I think you are really great. You should make more episodes of Tree from My Youth. How many evil ex-girlfriends do you have? I think I can fight like four.
What? That's not the one I'm reading, unless I'm missing major sections of it.
No, well, at the bottom it says, Ben, aka DJ, not a DJ.
Oh,
please
okay.
fight
Call
later.
Me by that old forgotten name.
I have but two requests. More episodes than just one per week.
No. Oh, my God.
Don't scare us.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I don't think so, buddy. I appreciate the review, but it's enough work to get one out a week that's of any sort of listening quality. So
yeah, I mean, we can do one good one a week and then one that releases on Friday nights where it's like 15 minutes of us being like, it's Friday night.
We have nothing
it's
else
Friday
to
night.
Do.
Oh, you actually, you know the just forgot the Scott Kurtz and Chris Straub on Penny Arcade TV. They do their like 15-minute video animated, just them talking about random crap.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I've heard of them.
I think I've seen that. Yeah,
we could totally do something like that, but I don't know that that would actually be something that I would associate with the Fangamer name,
Garrett,
at all.
Like the old Super Mario Super Show, it was like Monday through Thursday, and then Friday is
Legend
of Zelda.
Zelda.
The best day.
Yeah, but I could see if we were to do something, it would have to be really not structured.
Yeah, I think I think since people like the outtakes so much, we could have like a shoot in the breeze sort
Fan
of
gamer
thing.
After dark.
Shoot the.
Wow! Thanks for making me have to edit that, you big old jerk.
Shoot the.
We would need a sweet name, and we would. It's. You could just take all the stuff from the normal podcast that we. that we cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Just mold
and just
together.
Release it and play it backwards and over Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
So it all syncs up.
All right. We've digressed enough there. So
yeah, but I digress.
Let's leave the show at that. Thank you for the review, Luca Hibbert you know who you are. Thank you.
Wow.
All right.
We love our
next
fans.
Week, everyone.
I see how you got the girls, Garrett.
A thankful Christmas and a happy new year and so forth. Good night,
that
everyone.
That was horrible.
That was not the holidays that we're celebrating this week.
No, was it obvious?
In a couple years, we'll get Penny a little brother, Goku. Well, her name is Penjita, so. Yeah.
That's pretty cute. Have you renamed her from Penny to Penjita?
No, she'll always be Penny, because she's still Penny Pants, but. I mean, she's.
Penny
as City
Pants.
As often as she's Penjita, she's also Captain Ginyu Puff, and Little Spirit Bomb, so. She actually gets called Captain Ginyu a lot.
Why is she Captain Ginyu?
Because he's got the weird horns, and, like, her ears are similar to that when she holds them a certain way, so I'll do the little Ginyu Force dance. I'll be like, Toku Sentai, and pick up her paws and make her dance with me.
Then she hates that, right?
Hates it. Oh my god.
She hates it. She just wants to bite her hands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Penny's an excellent hand biter.
You get a bigger break than me. It's not fair.
I'm in graduate school. It is fair. It's hard. I'm not doing the Hamlet soliloquy I did senior year of high school.
Okay, no. Look. You didn't have to act it.
Acted? What does that require? To be or not to be?
There were
that
so many things wrong
question.
With that just now. I couldn't even,
whether
I couldn't even count.
No. In the mind to adore the
slings
and arrows about outrageous fortune.
You're so happy about talking about killing yourself right now.
I'm doing Bradley Whitford's version from Billy Madison.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Which is so good. It's unbelievable. No, I've seen many versions of that. I've seen the Mel Gibson and the Kenneth Branagh version of that speech, and I don't think there's a right way to do it.
There isn't a right way to do it, but there's a wrong way to do it.
No, that was not the way I did it. The way I did was objectively more correct than any that came out of your mouth then.
Jeez.